Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Nsoroma, and I am having a bit of a technical difficulty with my video, but I think I'm going to just like have to pass on it and just focus on the broadcast tonight. Sometimes these things happen. What can you do? Anyway, I am so delighted to be here talking with you all tonight, continuing with my focus on this wonderful, wonderful topic about being authentic and the importance of that. And so I am doing the this will be the third of, which I thought was going to be five, but I think it's going to be just four now. Bits of information on this. And tonight I'm going to continue from where I had been, and we'll see what happens. Now, this is interesting. My other spot is not working, but this spot is working on my video, so I'll just have to get a new stream out there for people. But anyway, it's all good. So let me start by saying that, you know, this September brings the energy of a higher purpose to support us being our authentic self. And so it meshes with my theme for the past, to your authentic self. As the 21st century continues to bring disruption to all of our institutions, financial, religious, familial, or educational, the evolutionary impulse of the universe is demanding, excuse me, that we let go of doing and being what is not in alignment with our higher purpose. Wet my throat here. And so through these broadcasts and YouTube live streams, I'm going to provide wisdom and insight on the inner journey to becoming your authentic self. And tonight, as I said, I'll present part three, which is all about choosing love over fear. But first, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern or Pacific, 5 p.m. Pacific time, I broadcast live, both here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube live stream when it's working, unless I'm on hiatus or something unexpected occurs. But please know that if you have a problem with your internet, unlike me, you can call in and listen to the show live over the Black Hole Radio blog talk. And that number is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Now, I only take about an hour to do these weekly spills of information to support you as you navigate through this age of illumination. So I don't always have time for question and answer, but I do have a website where you can leave me a question that I could answer on the next broadcast, or you could leave me a comment. And, of course, if you're YouTubing it, you know, there's a comment section below. And my website is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, which is also the name of my YouTube channel. But right now, I invite you to sit, lay back, and join me in an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our souls and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, I always like to start off with honoring the ancestors, and I really need to do that tonight because I got so distracted with this live stream. I think part of what's going on is that spirit is giving me practice that regardless of whatever disruption shows up, the show must go on, and that you just figure out a way to just keep it going. Don't be pulled off center by distraction. So I want to call out to all of the ancestors that we have working for us to help us with that in life, because that's very much what happens in life, right? Things crop up, problems, challenges, surprising events, traumatic events, things that are unexpected and that come with a negative energy. And it's so important that we remember that we don't have to let any of that stop us, that we can find a way to get help we need, if it's about needing help, get support we need if it's about solving a problem, especially financially, that we can find a way forward. And that, you know, part of our journey here in life is to do that, to keep finding a way forward, to not let the disruption stop the show, stop us from being on purpose. So think about those ancestors from your life, can be blood related or not, can be people who are famous but who you admire, their life story inspires you. And we're going to call on them now and really ask them to give us everything we need to be able to keep moving forward despite whatever situation, challenge shows up for us. So, Mother, Father, God, Creator, Source, all the one, all that is, I ask and I thank you for your beautiful blessings and mercies that you bring to our lives. And for this opportunity to reach out to you through the power of prayer. Creator, I'm so grateful for your wonderful emissaries, the ancestors, those who had once walked the earth plane, but now are in your domain, speaking in your language, and who can be the translators for us to you. Those ancestors for whom problems here are not problems there, who can see in all directions at once. We are so grateful for their existence, and right now we are calling on them for the help we need to move forward. So ancestors, 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 please come and be of great service to us at this time to give us the wisdom, the guidance, the strength, the support, the ideas, the love, to be able to choose to keep moving forward despite whatever blocks come in our way, to help us not let go, to not despair, to not give up, but to be able to continue moving forward into our higher purpose, into that which we're really, really here for. And so continue to guide us, continue to whisper to us, continue to give us signs, clearly, distinctly in dreams, even from movies that we watch, however it is that you need to communicate with us to keep us on our path and moving forward. And again, Creator, I thank you for this opportunity, for calling on the ancestors and for the blessing of the ancestors. In the name of all that is holy, I say, Amen. Asheho, Sashinga, Bismillah. So it is. So it is. Okay. Wow. Now, I'm going to start off with some elemental wisdom for the week and talk about the aftermath of that full moon on Friday the 13th, and then a little nod to the equinox that we have coming up. So beginning Tuesday, which is the first day of the elemental week, we are going to be moving into a fire week. And the opportunity here is to embrace and practice forgiveness. Wow, so important. It is about invoking the ancestors to help you forego being a martyr to past pain as you invite the grace of forgiveness to embrace you and remove that which was never yours to keep. Ask and thank your God for enabling you to receive that grace of forgiveness for those who have hurt you and for those you have hurt, whether it was conscious or unconscious. I suggest you prepare an ancestor plate at every meal, light a candle, and feed them with your intention to honor their existence and to receive their guidance, wisdom, and love, just as we were just doing. Remember, the ancestors want you to win, and they're committed to you not repeating their sorrows. You are their dream come true, and they want you to live out your happy endings. Now, distractions to this week, this fire week of forgiveness, would be wanting to be right about being a victim. And, you know, that's that piece where it kind of feels good that, you know, like I'm better than that person because that person hurt me. They did something wrong to me, and that makes me better. You know, that's kind of wanting to stay a victim. You don't want to stay in that. You don't want to feel better because you were victimized. You want to say, this is not who I am. I need to let this go, and I need to move on. Thinking that you have to figure things out on your own is another distraction to the fire energy around forgiveness. We can't do it on our own. We need help. So reach out for help. Ask for help. It's so, so important to do that. Judgment and criticism of yourself and others. Not a good use of your time and energy. Just let it go. Let it go. Go into that forgiveness energy of releasing that old stuff. And then last but not least, taking on the problems of others. It's just not going to change anything. Trust me. I know from past experience, it doesn't work. The only person you can change is you. So you can be compassionate for people and understanding, but you really don't need to take on any of their stuff. So next Tuesday after this, the 24th, we will begin a mineral week in this mineral year and, of course, in the mineral month, and I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Excuse me, my nose is a little runny here. Okay, some more water. All right. Now, on Friday the 13th, we had a phenomena of a full moon, which is also a harvest moon. In China, and for the Chinese, it's a very powerful moon, and that's when they eat their moon cakes and celebrate with family. You know, it's almost, again, it's this harvest time, the notion of that I'm reaping what I have sown and that, you know, there's prosperity and abundance and all that good stuff, you know. So a good full moon, and it was a really powerful moon. Astrologers were saying that it was all about extreme transformation because there were seven planets lined up, immutable signs and seven planets and earth signs, and it was this kind of being adaptable with this change that is coming into our lives. And it's really been some very radical energy. That's been my experience of it, as well as several people that I have talked to or that I work with. It's all designed, though, to, again, keep moving us forward. So if there were things that were blocking you from the past, things that needed to be dealt with, yeah, they came up. Or it went to the other part, it swung to the other side of experience where something wonderful that you'd been working toward and waiting on, bam, it came through, or it's about to come through this week. So it's a really, really powerful time. I know energetically I have been feeling a lot of physical consequences of it, and so I've been kind of more sluggish, a little more tired. I didn't have any appetite, or I had a lot of appetite for the wrong things that I know I shouldn't be eating. All in all, it's been, you know, you can feel that there's like really change going on. Yeah. Not sleeping or having difficulty staying asleep. Vivid dreams, just disruption, I'll call it that, like disruption that has been going on. For those of you who it may have shown up very, very intensely to the point that maybe it is disrupting your ability to function, seek some help. Don't just suffer in it, you know. Definitely go and seek some help, especially when it's bringing up things from the past that you haven't been able to deal with before. The good news is you're ready to deal with it now, but do get yourself assistance in order to do that. Don't feel that you have to do it on your own. So this full moon really kind of ushers in the change in the season that we will experience this Friday into Saturday with the autumnal equinox here in the northern hemisphere and the vernal equinox in the southern hemisphere. So they're going from their winter into spring, and we're going from summer into autumn, into fall. So, of course, the equinox is because there will be equal parts of daylight and equal parts of sunlight. And so spiritually, energetically, it is a time in which we are to really be in balance, to seek out being in balance, and to notice where we're not in balance. Yeah. And it's a good use of the time and the energy for that. So again, that's next Friday coming up. But again, we are just really moving through some very interesting energy and time here, all leading up to the year 2020, which will be significant not only politically, but also just for things that, it's time for our evolution as humans. And, you know, there's just crazy stuff going on around the world and, oil fields in Saudi Arabia being blown up, another fire, the Amazon forests being on fire, fires in Africa, fires in South Africa, fires in Russia. So all of that, you know, definitely is this kind of very, very disruptive energy opening us up to the new that wants to come in. So the more we keep holding on to what no longer works, what is past, the harder it's going to be to move into the new that is coming. And if you were to ask me all about what the new is, I really don't know. I just know that it's coming. And some of the new is that we can no longer, separate ourselves out from our planet and from nature. We can no longer think that it's just here for us to plunder and treat any way that we want, that there are going to be consequences to that. Yeah. Don't get me started talking about the nuclear stuff, because it's just really insane. But it's time for us as humans to wake up and realign ourselves really with this beautiful planet that is so much a part of who we are, and to really know that and experience that connection. So have a wonderful fire week coming up, and please do that good forgiveness work, because it will help you definitely step more into your authenticity. And so here's my overview tonight. I'm going to do a quick overview of what I talked about in the last two videos and broadcasts about your authentic self and the three most important threats and challenges on your path to that. Then I'm going to talk tonight about choosing love over fear in order to be your authentic self. And then, of course, I'll give you a personal challenge. Now, the quote that I use this week is, authenticity is freedom from the illusion of fear and alignment to the reality of love. Isn't it just sweet and beautiful and clear and simple and yum? You know, and it's by an unknown person. I don't know if that somebody out there knows who did it and could give that to me. It would be great. But when I found it, it just said anonymous, unknown. But wow, that's it. That's really what it's about. Authenticity is our freedom. And to get away from the illusion of fear and get into alignment with the reality of love, what love really is, what it's really about, what it's really for. So I'm talking about authenticity this month as about getting on the path to it, because it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that we are, of course, when we're first born. You know, we're who we are. We're it. But, of course, as we grow and develop, we are going to look around and say, oh, I need to be that, or I need to be that, or I should be this. And some of what we are desiring or seeking isn't really in alignment with our higher purpose or the truth of who we are, but we're going along with what it is we think we need to do in order to be here and be okay and to belong and to be liked and to be loved and to survive. And, you know, so there's many reasons why we move away from our authentic self. But part of our growth process is to realign with it. You know, when I think about what is maturation, what is being an adult, I really think it really is about that. It's about becoming your authentic self. Because until you're your authentic self, you really aren't going to be fulfilled in life. You may accomplish things, you may have things, you may acquire a lot of things, but at the end of the day, inside, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to feel complete. You're going to feel like something's missing. So you go out and you seek something more, you know. But when you get it, that what's going on is that you are out of balance with the truth of who you really are and what it is you really want to do, yeah, then there's a turning point that can happen, a shift that can happen so that you can move into, you know, really being in a place of living what Mr. Rogers called deep and simple, deep and simple, yeah. And not think that all of the chaos and confusion and anxiety and worry that characterizes our modern lifestyle, that that has to be your reality, because it doesn't. Life can be very simple and very deep, meaning that you will have experiences of meaningful relationships, not surface stuff. You know, not stuff that's so that you can feel like, yeah, I'm somebody, but really, really deep relationships. If you watch that show called The Good Place, which I've been watching on Netflix, I didn't get it on regular television, but I just so admire the writing in it. It's really done well. Very, very great sense of humor, but really done well in that there's this one character who is name dropping all the time. Like, I went to lunch with Bono and I did this with the Queen and I went here with the this, you know. And it's like that's her way of feeling like she is somebody. Like she's got to be connected to somebody famous. Otherwise, it's like almost she doesn't exist. And in the series, of course, we're watching as she learns how to really have an authentic relationship and become her authentic self. So again, this notion of being authentic, another way I described it is that when you're living authentically, you don't try to do the following, which is be liked, be loved, be paid, be felt sorry for, be in control of or over someone or something other than yourself. And you don't try to be approved of by those that don't have the capacity to do that. Or you don't try to get people to be something for you that only you can be for yourself. Being authentic is being self-actualized, loving yourself unconditionally, trusting in your greater order and direction more than your ego. Yeah, all of that is what being authentic is about. And living that authentic lifestyle means that your life will be deep and simple, simple and deep. Now, I also talked about why in the 21st century it's so important that we are learning to become authentic sooner rather than later. And a big part of that is because, you know, our old dysfunctional beliefs are being illuminated so that we can get into alignment with this evolutionary energy that is going on from the universe. And we're starting to really see, which I'll talk about a little more in a minute, the consequences of choosing love, choosing fear over love, and the ways in which we've done that, and given good excuses for doing it. You know, survival is the best excuse, but we're getting now to really experience the consequences of that here in the 21st century in a way that we haven't in centuries previously. I also talked about how the process of stepping onto the path of authenticity is not for the faint of heart, because it really is challenging. And one of the reasons is because something inside of you knows that once you start, you can't go back, and that you will be challenged in the process to become the truth of who you are. Why? Because you've got to leave people, places, things, even ideas behind. I also talked about why would we move forward anyway on the path. And a lot of that is because of the opportunity to step into acceptance and faith. And that's something that we're pulled to. We want that. And it's about changing up our perspective from I can't to I can and I'm being prepared, so that you open up to a willingness to learn how to be your authentic self, how to deal with the challenges when they come up. It's also that awareness that everything that's happening for you to become authentic is also connected to healing from your core wound, your greatest pain, that pain that will continue to jump up throughout your life until you finally recognize its patterns and realize, oh, I really need to shift this because this is not working for me. Yeah. So that is connected into your being on the path. There's going to be healing that goes on, which is why it's such a worthy journey, because that's one of the reasons why, too, we will move away from our authentic self is because of, pains that happen to us in life. Yeah. Especially early in life. Now, in the first broadcast, I gave the challenge of imagine that you've been anonymously awarded a monthly income of $10,000 for the rest of your life. You no longer have to worry about any financial survival. And the big question is, so what would you do? What would you do with your life? How would you be to yourself and others? A really, really wonderful thing to contemplate because so much of why so many of us are not doing what it is we really feel called to do or we really want to do is because we're so afraid of not having enough money or not having any money, which means I'll be homeless and ultimately I'll die. So that fear will really keep us separated. So a good way to begin to uncover that, to begin to open that up, is to think about, well, what would you do if you did have financial freedom? What would happen? Now, like I said, being on the path to your authentic self, you are going to be challenged. There are challenges that are going to come up, and I pulled out what I think are the three most important ones, and I called them threats, too. And they're threats because they can actually have you say, oh, I can't do that. I can't keep going. I got to go back and do and be what I know, what people will accept, because this is too threatening. Yeah. So these are real. So, again, just being conscious of them is then how we can actually work with them so that when they show up, number one, we're like, oh, there's that one. And also we can, do the prayer work and do the intention setting to learn how to move through that threat, to take it on as a challenge that we can solve. So the first threat is about the status quo, wanting to be a part of what is considered normal. Most of us accept the ideology of modernity that we are here to survive financially or we will die. So when you're young, sometimes not young, you will be chasing the dollar as if that is going to bring you happiness. And the reality is it doesn't. But if you do what you love, if you follow your dream and you learn from that, the dollar will follow you. I mean, that's really the way it works. That's really the way it works. It doesn't seem that way in this culture, but it really is. So the status quo threat, that wanting to be like everybody else around you, the challenge is to transcend the fear of being different and abnormal and commit to learning and remembering your higher purpose, believing that you have a sacred contract, that you came here for something specific and that you can pursue that. And if you know of, people in the arts, the stories of people who are artists, writers, actors, painters, you'll hear how they took lots of risks to pursue what it is that they were called to do, and how important that was in the end to get them to where they're at. Yeah. Get them to fulfillment. Yeah. So here's the second threat. And it's a question of belonging. You know, like wanting to be normal, we all want to belong. And so we question, you know, do I belong to my family? Do I belong to this group? Or I want to belong to a group. I want to be in the in crowd. I want to belong to this company. I want to belong to this whatever, you know. But if we're not mastering ourselves and claiming our personal sovereignty, yeah, it's not going to be a good belonging. It's not going to be a good belonging experience, right, because you'll be at the will and mercy of somebody else's fear. So that is the challenge for that quest, if you're questioning belonging by going off and doing what is really you. You want to focus on, well, how do I master me? Let me stop worrying about which clique I need to belong to or who I need to fit in with. Or where's my tribe? Let me find the tribe in me first. Let me see who I really am and who I really am here for. You know, that's very different than let me go out and see where I belong. But who am I here for? What is my higher purpose? What is that really about? And then the third threat is self-denial and self-hatred. You know, this is probably the biggest threat of all because it runs so unconscious and so deep. You know, when we follow the status quo instead of our dream and do what is expected of us to be financially and materially successful, it becomes really hard to distinguish between loving and hating yourself. So it's really, really important, to know that in all of us, because we all have a core wound, there is some degree of self-denial and self-hatred that goes on. And so the challenge when you're becoming your authentic self is to learn how to find that out, to really get to see that clearly, and then get to accepting that you were born in the exact place at the exact time in the exact body for your soul's journey to love, which is the highest purpose for all of us. That's why we were born. We're here to be loved and loving, and not in a romantic way only, but really deeply and simply loved. Yeah. Yeah. So let me share with you now. Oh, and the personal challenge I gave, I will share that, which I said, which of the three threats are you aware of at this time in your life? How and why? Which challenge have you or would you consider taking on at this time in your life to shift around, and why? And then, who in your life do you believe can support you on your path to your authentic self? Yeah, very important to have that support. Now, for tonight's continuation in this topic to deepen our understanding about becoming authentic, I want to talk about choosing love over fear. It seems simple, but it's not, because sometimes we don't recognize the fear. Yeah. And so what I am sharing is a way for you to be able to be more conscious of when you have taken a posture of fear so that you can shift it to the love. Now, by posture, I mean just that. You know, when we talk about good posture, right, we're standing tall, we're standing in our truth, you know. We're grounded when you're in a good posture. And so a posture becomes this understanding that this is what is going to support me. Yeah. standing in a posture is having thoughts and ideas and behaviors that support you. So loving posture is what we want. We don't want that fear posture, because a fear posture doesn't support you. That's kind of, your posture is all messed up. Your back is all slumped out and you're hanging to one side. You know, it's not real posture. That's the fear posture. So we want the love posture. And I shared this about 6 years ago. It's been 6 years. It was in 2013 when I first shared this, right after the 2012 shift, as a way for us to be able to focus more about the choosing, the love over the fear. So I put it into what I believe is language and an understanding, so that it becomes more, it becomes easier for you to make that shift when you discover that you've taken a posture of fear versus a posture of love. So I'm going to read through them. I aligned them with the medicine wheel, with the dagger of medicine wheel, from fire, water, earth, mineral, and nature, because I actually did do ritual work around them to help people get even more grounded in it. So the first love posture is acceptance and faith, and that is versus denial and despair. The second one is trust and unconditional love versus control and attachment. The third is personal sovereignty and vulnerability versus insecurity and codependence. The fourth is curiosity and excitement versus arrogance and anxiety. And the fifth is fulfillment and gratitude versus greediness and envy. And yes, I will post these both on my Facebook page and also in the box below this video. So let me talk a little about each of them. So love posture number one, acceptance and faith. Bad things are going to happen in life. Challenges are going to show up in life. That's just part of life. But we will go into denial when we say, this can't be happening to me. And we can also plunge into despair with, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with life. I don't want to be here. This isn't okay. It's not working out. And, of course, that can go into some deep mental health problem as well. So it can be very, very serious when we're in that fear posture of denial and despair. So recognizing that when we can, will help us know that we have a choice, because we don't have to stay in that if we're not chemically imbalanced, meaning if we don't have serious mental health issues. But when bad things occur, we can make that choice for acceptance and faith. Yeah. And, you know, faith is something that is about you're willing to believe that something has happened for a purpose, that there is treasure in the trouble, and that you're going to get to the other side. That's what faith is about. And when you accept that this bad thing has happened, but that it has some treasure for you, that's what will pull you out of denial and despair. And a great example of that I can think of is the story of Makalie Ilibigeza, a woman who survived the Rwandan genocide in the 90s, and she wrote the book called Left to Tell, you've never read that, I highly suggest it. It's an amazing story about her journey through those 90 days, how she survived, and then the aftermath, because she was able to get to forgiveness through acceptance and faith. Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing story. She didn't go into denial and despair and let the fear take over. She chose the love. So a very, very important choice for us to make, to fall into acceptance and faith. And yes, it is a challenge. It is not easy. We need support for that. You need somebody saying to us, you know what, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. Know that there is something more. But it's an important posture to take in life, a very important one. The second one is about trust and unconditional love. You know, trust can easily be broken, but it can also be repaired, because the ability to trust resides within you. It's not dependent upon the actions of someone else. Yeah. It's really an inside-out thing, an inside-out job. I had a friend when I was younger who said to me, because they could see that I wasn't being trusting, I wasn't a trusting person because of my wounds, my core wounds. And this person said to me, you know, you have to trust first. You have to give people a chance. If they break the trust, then you know, okay, they're not trustworthy. But if you don't trust, you're never going to learn whether they're trustworthy or not. And I always remember that wonderful wisdom. And again, it's a challenge when you've been jumped on, stepped on, hurt, and hurt by people that you thought you could trust, betrayed. It is very hard to trust, but it is a choice that we can make and need to make. And to remember, it's really about trusting ourselves. And the unconditional love piece is, you know, that opportunity to release our attachment to the past, Now, so to release our attachment to thinking that if somebody has wronged us or done something wrong, that it's our responsibility to make them pay. And that's called revenge. No, it's our responsibility to bless and disconnect, because ultimately they will have to deal with their consequences. You know, we are energetic beings, and whatever energy we put out, that's what's going to come back. Yeah, it really is that way. So we don't need to take on being a judge and jury for someone. If they disappointed us, you know, or even victimized us, you know, we can fall into unconditional love, first of all, for ourselves, you know, because when we get hurt, that's really the first thing that happens is we don't like ourselves. We're not loving ourselves. But we can choose to shift that around and learn to let go of our attachments and step into that trust place and that unconditional love. Again, like acceptance and faith, this is not easy stuff. It really does take support and a willingness to learn or practice it. The third posture is about personal sovereignty combined with vulnerability. You know, personal sovereignty is the opposite of codependency. Codependency is where I am making somebody outside of myself responsible for my joy, my happiness, my sadness, for whatever it goes on for me. And as an adult, the reality is that only we are responsible for who and what we are, what our thoughts are. You know, personal sovereignty is that supreme and independent power and authority over our thoughts, our choices, and our resulting behaviors. Like, we really, really are in charge of that. And so when we choose that, when we choose to step into personal sovereignty, to let go of giving away our power by thinking that somebody made me do that, that person said that, and so I had to do this, no. And the vulnerability piece, you know, authenticity emerges from that because it's that willingness to feel and experience not knowing. Yeah, that's what vulnerability is really about. Like, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to take a risk to trust, right? To accept, to love unconditionally. I'm going to take that risk. And I have to be vulnerable to do that. I have to be open, open mind, open heart, open will in order to do that. Yeah. And, of course, the... you know, the opposite of the personal sovereignty and vulnerability is insecurity and codependency. The fourth posture, love posture, is curiosity and excitement, which I had a personal experience with just a couple of days ago. I found myself falling into arrogance and anxiety. And arrogance, of course, is about, I know it. I figured it all out. I've got it. And yes, arrogance opens the door to despair, because if we start to make up the ending to a situation, if we think we've got it all figured out, oh, I know how this is going to end. I've been here before. I know. You know, that is a form of arrogance. And then it makes you anxious, right? Because you don't want things to go the same way. You want them to be different. But there's something in you that's like, oh, no, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. So to switch out of that, become curious, and then get excited. And the curiosity is, wow, what if this situation was different than what I expect? What if it really could be more than what I could ever imagine? What if it won't be the same old, because I've been doing my work on me. I've been changing me up. And so, yeah, it should be different, you know, and that's how you get yourself excited and curious. But it's about, you know, this love posture is, don't shut the door on what you think is supposed to happen or what you know, because you'll miss what is happening that will be different. Yeah. You know, I've also talked about how this conditioning of standardized testing that we do with children really makes it hard for us to stay curious, because the whole process of formal education is that you got to know. And if you don't know, you fail, right? You don't belong to the group of the good people. You got to go to the bad place. So it has really impacted on it becoming more challenging for us in this society to let go of our arrogance and our addiction to anxiety because of standardized testing. I really think that has had a really bad impact on us in ways that we don't realize enough. So again, moving into that curiosity and excitement is a choice that we can make in order to stay with our authentic self. Yeah, and that's what all of this is about. And then last but not least, the fifth posture is fulfillment and gratitude. And this is in consequence to, I mean, this is juxtaposed against greediness and envy. And here's what I mean by that. So if fulfillment is the experience of fullness and satisfaction in the heart and soul, and gratitude is the attitude that enables us to live fully, we feel fulfillment, and then we act grateful. But then along comes some form of trauma or challenge that awakens our pain body and teaches us coping mechanisms for numbing and ignoring the pain. And when we numb our pain, we also numb our ability to feel what is enough. Combine this with satisfaction overshadowed by competition and on the forgetting of the cosmic law that to everything there is a season, we will embrace greediness. The more I have, the better I'll be. And envy, The grass is always greener on the other side. That person's got something that I need. That person's got something I want. And these become postures for success, unfortunately. But of course, we'll only succeed. The only success we really have from this is becoming more insatiable and frustrated by a no-win pursuit of happiness. So again, you know, that pain is what can push us into, I got to have more, and I got to have more, and I got to have more. And that's, you know, what addictive behavior is basically about. You're trying to get rid of the pain, but of course, no drug, no shopping trip, no spending trip, whatever, you know, whatever the addiction is ever going to be enough. So getting to fulfillment and practicing gratitude. And again, like all of these postures, they're not easy to get to, but you can. And it starts off with setting an intention. I know I had to do that. I shared earlier this month about having a shopping addiction, and I had to get to a point where I had to learn what was enough. I have to learn the difference between I'm in pain and I want to be out of pain versus I need to go shopping and pick up a couple of things, but I don't need to buy 50 more things that I really don't need. I had to learn what enough was, what that felt like. I didn't even know what it felt like. I had to learn that. And gratitude is just that practice of stopping when you're complaining, especially when you're complaining, or especially when you're comparing yourself to somebody else. And you say, oh, that house, that car, that job, that face, whatever it is, that you stop and you just say, wait a minute, what do I have that I'm grateful for? And just go into that practice of gratitude. It's so, so, so important. So helpful, so important. So here's a personal challenge for this week. I want you to begin your day by asking to see clearly the ways in which you are motivated by fear. Choose one way that gets revealed to you and ask for the wisdom, guidance, and support to learn how to shift into love as your motivator. Yeah. And again, the personal challenge will be listed in the box below of this YouTube video, and I'll also post it on the Facebook page. Wow. Here we are at the end of the show. I want to start first by thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, who had to rush home on the bus to try and make sure I got connected, and she did, so I'm so grateful to her and the entire Black Hole Radio and Be Well family for all that they do to make sure that I can bring you these spiritual spills every week. To my regular listeners, especially Ms. Sarah, who once again is demonstrating that no matter how old you get, there's always another code to crack in terms of your emotional wellness. There's always something else to heal. And how wonderful to know that as long as we're alive, that we will continue growing, we will continue evolving. You're not going to ever get to a place where you stop. You know, you only stop once your spirit has left your body. But as long as you're here, you're going to be growing and healing. And you get better. You get better. And life becomes more wonderful, and that's what she totally demonstrates to me every day. To those of you who listen, walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, and I get to see one this week coming up on Friday, Miss Amanda Kemp is coming to L.A., and to my medicine brothers and sisters around the world and those listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Now, next week, I will continue spilling about the path to your authentic self with the treasure of authenticity, and I'm going to talk some movies with that. Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio. YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I would like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, gets my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fantastic, forgiving fire week. Honor those ancestors. They will help you navigate through this energy. And remember, you got time to really focus on being balanced on Friday through Saturday. And most importantly, remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.